Nerd Soul.
Lay Ill Kid at One Youngster holding down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, all year, another wonderful episode of Movie Reviews. We're going to get into it real quick. We're talking about Indiana Jones, all right? Dial of Destiny, all right? We're talking about Archimedes up in this piece. Now, before we get started, full spoilers. So, you know, if you ain't seen it, don't come through this joint. Or if you don't care about seeing it, or you like, I'm going to see it and I don't care what you say or what you tell, then feel free to go forward. I'm going to start off by saying this. If you are a general fan of Indiana Jones, you like the action, you like the adventure of the first three films, I'd say that this, I want to give a shout out to James Mangold on this one. I think that this is a return to form. And it definitely brings back in that kind of that old school adventure kind of energy, that style, that charm that the older Indiana Jones films had. I think you would feel that you'll feel right at home. I think this fits with those films better than the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull does. Even though I don't hate that movie, but I think that this one definitely feels like it matches those films better. In addition, I'll say this. I think Lucasfilm has learned their lesson from The Force Awakens. Oh man, when you see this film, you'll kind of get it. But basically, just referring to how they have characters returning, how the characters that return act, and how the characters that return interact with Indiana Jones. They definitely, in my opinion, I think they learned their lesson. I think they were like, oh, okay, all right. We understand what people want to see. Oh man, you can't subvert expectations all the time, I guess. But I'm a going to say this. I don't know if I've ever felt this way about Indy in this sense. I don't think I was ever able to describe him like this in this sense. But I will say this: Indiana Jones is a mutant. And his name is Longshot. All right? Look, Indiana Jones has been lucky before. But he was also a young man. He was a little more spry. You know what I'm saying? He still had a spring in the step. You know, he had younger knees. At this age, oh no, that brother's just straight lucky. All right? Indiana Jones, it don't get no more. Indiana Jones gets shot at like, what, 80 or something? Homie was just chilling. Dude was doing things with his arm that like regular people can't do with their arm when they get shot in it, man. Like, dude got shot in the arm. He was like, so? Like, he was operating in the rest of the film like, I don't care. Like, ain't nothing but a bullet, baby. Like, so yes, Indiana Jones is definitely a mutant and his name is Longshot. Dude is lucky beyond measure. I used to write off the luck on like, oh man, you know, Indiana Jones, he just really, really cool, right? He just like, you know, he just young and he able to move and got, you know, reflexes. Nah, bruh, not these old knees, not that old back. And he even references how, you know, he was forced to drink the blood of Kali and all this stuff, and he's been shot 9 times. I mean, dude out there like 50 Cent, but he ain't stop him. Nah, play, ain't stop. Now, there is a young lady in this joint, Wombat or Helena. And in the trailer, I was wondering how they were going to play her off. Because, I mean, remember in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, you had your boy, what's his name? What's the boy? Shia LaBeouf. Or Shia LaBeouf? LaBeouf? What's that boy's name? Anyway, you know, I was wondering how they was going to play her off. And for me, she works and she doesn't work. Her attitude, she has this arrogance, but then wants to be like caring too. It's like, nah, boo, you gotta go all in. But you know, I know she's having kind of like a little crisis of conscience, you know what I'm saying? So I get it. But she's cool. I think she plays off of Indiana Jones well. I think that their familiarity with each other is cool. And her kind of stealing half of the dial and putting that joint up for auction was something that I did not expect. I was like, oh, she gonna steal it and try to, you know, do something, some cool, you know, go back in time or do something, see her daddy or something. She was like, no, who got money? She was like, anybody in here got money? You got money? $60,000, $70,000, who got? And she talked about $70,000 back in the, what is it, the 50s, the 40s, something like that, the 60s, wherever it was. That's a lot of money. The inflation won't like it is now. So, like, when it got up to $150,000, that might as well have been $1 million. But I do like her attitude, and we see her kind of grow and change and get more of a family vibe because she does kind of let on that she never really felt any goddaughter, godfather connection between her and Indy, especially after her father died. And, you know, to a certain degree, I guess she felt like, hey, like, yo, I was kind of like abandoned. Like, you just left this, you know, left the shorty out here and like, you ain't care. So she does have a legitimate gripe with him. And seeing her turn around through her travels with Indy, I liked it. I'm feeling her. She does kind of come off as a budget Daisy Ridley, but that's just Lucasfilm, I guess. But it was cool. You know, she played off cool. They had to kill the sister in this movie. You know what I'm saying? There was a sister up in here. I think she was an FBI agent. They had to kill her like that, man. She did get to call a cracker, though. So, hey, we got that one off. But, I mean, she, like, yo, come on. You killed the sister. And, look, I'll tell you this. Them Nazis that was, you know, operating in the U.S., yo, they be killing people like that. Look, they got a license to kill, apparently. Because they be shooting all out in public, killing all kinds of people, you know, professors and stuff. Look, they don't care, man. They living that wild. They wilding out for real, for real. Like, they killing like they ain't no tomorrow. But I want to talk about Nazis in the terms of the story. Okay. When it comes to Indiana Jones, I know that, you know, Nazis is a part of it. You know what I'm saying? But I also can't get out of my mind the narrative ease of a Nazi. Like, you don't really have to build your villain. You could just be like, they're Nazi. Because in general, most people say, hey, Nazis equal bad. You know what I'm saying? I know there's some people out there that they want to be Nazis now. They love Nazis. They're trying to bring it back. But look, I'm just saying, in general, the movie-going audience, they can say, okay, Nazi bad. You know what I'm saying? And they don't really have to do any work to build their villain. And I kind of think that's something that plagues a lot. Not just Indiana Jones, but a lot of productions that, like, hey, these are Nazis. Because it's like, it's kind of like this narrative shortcut just to get me to not like them when you didn't really build the villain. Now, in this case, you do have Mads Mikkelsen, and he does do his part as a villain, but he could have just been someone on his own. He didn't have to be part of the Nazi, I don't know, regime or Nazi party, the Nazi clan, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? He didn't really have to be part of that because he kind of had his own motivations. I mean, they were tied to the Nazis because they kind of had to, but he was a villain in his own right, and they kind of worked more in building him up instead of kind of like this spurned doctor that, you know, the Nazis didn't really believe in, and he, you know, he's like, I could do it better kind of thing. I don't know. Sometimes when I think about Nazis, I feel like y'all just taking the easy route out because y'all don't really know how to build a villain. But with that said, I like Mads Mikkelsen. I liked his character. I would have liked to get more of him, like a little more behind his, you know, motivations and like kind of where he was. But I also know we're getting Indy back in the saddle. You know, we're introducing a new lady in Helena and her friend Teddy, which is kind of like Short Round, her version of Short Round. So I understand there wasn't too much screen time to go around, but I did dig Mads Mikkelsen's character. I just, when it comes to Nazis, I feel like, you know, y'all being kind of lazy with your villain building. But I also know that Nazis are also a kind of big part of indie story. I just, sometimes I'm like, you know, we can move on. There are other bad people in the world. But with that said, Teddy, there was a couple of times when I was like, all right, y'all, like, you know, I'm just rolling with the adventure, because Teddy should have been dead like twice. But we're going to let him ride. You know what I'm saying? We're going to let him rock. He's part of the new crew. He a good guy, so we're going to let him rock. But Teddy definitely should have been dead twice. Yeah, I think two times Teddy should have been dead. Easily. Oh, also, when they come up to that air, the airstrip, and they about to take Indy, bruh, where was the bad guy's peripheral vision up in this piece? Like, what? Like, was y'all helmets blocking y'all? Like, they was right there. They was, you ain't see him? But you know what? Let that ride. I ain't gonna hurt y'all. I generally enjoy the movie, so I'm gonna let that slide. Now, I want to bring this up. This is something that Hollywood does in a lot of movies. Whenever the hero gets in any type of old hoopty jalopy type car, oh, that car is about to get mad mystical quality, son. Alright, look, they was in this little, I don't know, it's like a motorized rickshaw or whatever. It's like a little buggy or something. Whatever it was, apparently this is the one that has like military suspension, military grade struts and shocks. You know what I'm saying? Look, this joint must have been built by, I don't know, like Lamborghini or something, because it was mad fast. I on these little three baby wheels, it was mad fast. It was pulling like G1 turns. I was like, is this like an F1 version of this car? Like, who made this? Is it, y'all must have had the illest one. And it's not just Indiana Jones. I'm not just knocking this. Remember in Born Identity, when the girl, or was it Born Identity? Whatever the first Born movie was. Remember when that girl had that old, what was it, like a VW Bug or something? She had like an old car, and he jumps in the car, and she's like, it pulls a little to the left or something like that. And that was all she told him. She ain't telling him. This dude had the illest, like Mach 1, you know, race car version of this. I was like, how? Hold up. This car look hard. Maybe it's one of them cars where she let the paint job go, but she kept all the internals like well oiled and up to date, and you know, had your brand new inspection. Maybe that was it, man, because the car looked crummy. Whenever the hero gets in a car that looks crummy, that car about to do the sweetest work ever. It's about to do the illest ever work you ever seen in your life. But with that said, I did like the chase scenes that we got. I thought they were incredible. I also liked, this is another villain in Indiana Jones where they think that they're going to get something and they don't really get what they think they're going to get. And I enjoyed it. We got to see some pieces of history in here. We got to see Indy getting ready to let it all go. But seeing Indy's love come back, seeing Indy, you know, kind of reconnect with his past, I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. And it showed that, like, someone who was, you know, out in them streets, he was like, he still got a couple, you know, cards to play. So I enjoyed it, man. I will say this is cool. I think it fits with the first three better than the last one does. And James Mangold held it down, man. Like, I think it's a good time in the theater. Now, if you are not a big Indiana Jones fan, I think you can wait for this. Because if you're not super into Indiana Jones, there's no reason for you to get up out your chair, you know what I'm saying, go. Depending, if you like in LA or something like that, you gotta pay to park, you gotta pay out, it ain't worth all that. But if you're very nostalgic about Indiana Jones, you really love Indiana Jones, I'd say this one is a return to form and it's definitely right up your alley. I think you'll dig it. I like the kind of, you know, jet setting that we got to see, the underwater segment when they're going to get the extra pieces of the what is it, the Galapagos or whatever they said it was, all that stuff, I thought was cool. I did expect to see more craziness in the water, but I guess they was like, we're going to hold that back because we're going to go to the past, so we're going to hold that back. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be some eels. They're going to be mean. I've never seen eels that mean, but I mean, also, I've only seen like freshwater eels. Maybe these the crazy, you know, the Aegean Sea eels. Maybe they like the hardest in them streets. So, they was wilding, but it was nice to see the slow turn from Helena. It's nice to see the backstory from Baz. Nice to see the growth once again of Indiana Jones to where, you know, he's you know, kind of coming back around to being family. We got to see his remorse over his son. There was a lot of cool stuff in here that I think is fun to enjoy. And if you love Indiana Jones, I think this one will really work for you. Way better than, whoo, Lord, sweet Lordy Lord. All right, so let's just, you know what, matter of fact, how about let's do this? There's 4 Indiana Jones films. All right, let's just say that. Right now, there's 4 Indiana Jones films, and that's it. No more. So, of course, with that said, holler me. I'm going to holler you down in them comments. Let's talk Indiana Jones, man. I generally like the film, man. It was cool. I mean, of course, I could nitpick it, but I had a good time. We went on an adventure. I enjoyed the adventure, all of the punches and the kicks and the whips and all that. Oh, also, I'm telling you, homie's hat is like a return to sender, like, spell or something on that. Anyway, shouts to the sound department because every punch had the illest bass in it. It was like psh, oh, psh, oh, psh. So like everybody was getting punched with the hardest, the illest punches in their life. Also, they made sure that there was definitely a rickety bridge in this movie too. I don't trust rickety bridges, but definitely for sure don't trust a rickety bridge if you're a super big dude with bad muscles. So NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. I'll holler at y'all later. Much love. And until the next adventure, into the next huge bowling ball, into the next corridor filled with bugs, until the next whiplash inducing car chase. This is from me to you saying peace.